You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT. TNT.
Okay, before we get into our next hour of wackingdom, something like that. I'm just trying to think of words, you see, and I can't think of anything because my brain's gotten dead. But I'm shortly joined by three guys that will help me find my grey matter and crank it up for me. Just looking at some of the things making news around the world, of course, we have that terrible, terrible massacre in Uvalde in the US, and all sorts of excuses coming out now. Also, we have building firms collapsing. It's almost like a plague. It's almost a pandemic of building firms collapsing. And as one falls, another falls, and the domino effect is going to be frightening, to say the least, because what do we do? Do we hand out money to building companies to make a profit? That saves people's, you know, homes, gets things done, creates employment, but we're subsidising a private company. So does that private company then become part of the state? As Pauline Hanson says, the Great Reset is here. So you just wonder. You wonder the end result. But one thing is for certain, something has to be done. You can't let building companies as such keep collapsing, because the domino effect will not only affect the building industry, it will affect the whole economy. So we just have to be very, very careful there. Other stories making news, former Hey Dad, Robert Hughes, who was charged with being a pedophile. He's trying to get out on bail, he's trying to get out of what is it called here? Parole, that's what it's called, parole. Knew that word was there somewhere. Anyway, they say that if he does get out, he'll be extradited back to the UK, and on those crimes, he deserves to also. Plus, a whole bunch of things happening. It's a weekend, and that's happening because I'm working still, but I can see the long queue going into places that have salubrious drinks and all sorts of good stuff.
Digging deeper into the news.
It's the topics that matter to me.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I don't know if that was digging deeper into the news. A bit shallow. Crypto, a bit shallow, do you think, on my part?
Yeah, no, I'll give you... The building thing gets me. I'm interested in that. I've got something to say.
But the pub thing isn't so good. Although, for a bloke, that's very important. It's funny how pubs are sort of... It's more the bar now. You know, the bar, and they've got these cocktail bars all over the place. What happened to the... You know, I'll ask Jeremy, because he's in Melbourne, a place of a lot of great restaurants and very classy bars, but some fabulous pubs. What's happened to the pub, Jeremy?
The pubs are doing okay now. I think most of the people are not too worried about COVID anymore. A lot of the restrictions have been eased, so there's still
beer
a bit of nightlife.
No, beer kills it. Beer kills everything. But you would, I mean, often used to, when I lived in Melbourne, the Waterside, which is a notorious pub, you could go there for a beer for breakfast. I'm sure I used to see you hanging out there at 7 a.m.
No, not breakfast.
Actually, but I knew people who would have a beer for breakfast. When I started in broadcast, when they had pedal power, they used to say, have a port before you go on the air because it was good for the voice. And I'm sure they all ended up alcoholics. Tim, what do you do for your voice? It's my wife says it's such a dainty voice.
Is it now? Well, that's the first time I'm hearing of it.
But. No, but very, very, very suave and sophisticated. And I see they're after a James Bond with that voice. Well, you never know. We could actually have a new James Bond, South African version.
Yes, the South African James Bond. In fact, that's my secret. I watch all the James Bond films. And
did
then
you
I,
see the last one?
I actually didn't know.
Actually, it's really good, but I won't have a spoiler here because I hadn't seen it. But it was really well. It went for almost 3 hours. It's a bit long.
It's a bit long these days.
It is, isn't it? Normally, it's like TikTok has taken over. It's just a film clip, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Well, John, what was your crypto? Sorry, what was your favourite film?
Oh, I'm a Pulp Fiction. If you want to really put one on, I thought I love Quentin Tarantino. I think he's. He's got some really weird stuff going on in his head, and he gets it out there for us to see. It's just pretty, pretty good. Pulp Fiction, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's my favourite.
Jeremy, you would have been Sound of Music, wouldn't you?
I didn't mind Sound of Music. I've taken a bit of interest in really? Singing. I've done a bit of singing myself. So, yeah, I'm a baritone. So
Are you really?
I quite enjoy it. Yeah.
Okay, this is unplanned, unrehearsed. Let rip on something. Come on.
Oh, how about Old Man River?
No, okay. No, you got to let rip.
Old Man River, that Old Man River, he just keeps rolling. He keeps on rolling.
That's great. I've just seen Jen, our producer. She's laying on her back and both legs and the hands are pointing in the air like she's not taking this well. Tim, you can't sing, can you?
Oh, I can definitely try.
And don't.
Are you sure?
You know, I used to sing. I thought I was going to be a great singer once, and I was at school because I went to a Catholic school. It didn't do much good for me, but went to the Catholic school and I choir practice. And I thought, I can recall, it was a probably a Thursday afternoon because we had church on Friday, a mass. And I let rip. I thought, I'm going to show everybody how to sing. And the nun, resembling Isis, of course, she smacked the desk and said, "Who's making those rude noises?" Huh. So that was my foray into music. I've stopped. So I think the world was saved. A fate worse than death.
She did a favour for the world. She did a favour to humanity.
Yep. Now, just speaking of a fate worse than death, we have Davos happening, which is very, very interesting. Look, I've got to tell you, this is because we're all concerned about the garbage that's coming out of Davos and the climate change hysteria, which is ramping up because Albo is there, Albanese, that is. Now, I never knew this. It's been out for about a year. The First Movers Coalition. Now, if you're wondering who the First Movers Coalition is or what they do, and this is really scary, I'll play you this and get your opinion.
The United States and the World Economic Forum are launching the First Movers Coalition. Is starting with more than 24 of the world's largest and most innovative companies. The coalition represents 8 major sectors that comprise 30% of the global emissions we now are dealing with. Steel, shipping, aluminum, concrete, trucking, aviation, chemicals, and direct air capture. These companies will be critical partners in pushing for commercially viable alternatives to decarbonize these industrial sectors and more.
So, John, should we be scared? I mean, they are ramping things up, aren't they? We've got the whole bloody lot of them.
The worst possible time. Worst possible time. You know, there couldn't be a worse time to throw the world into an experiment when we're already in one experiment. Mm. And, you know, like, I've got some pretty strong views on the whole thing. And I've got some reasons, scientific understanding of our capacity to warm a planet is zero. I'm right with Ian Plimer on this. I just understand that that is physically impossible. That we're dealing with too big an object, too complex an object, the planet. It's not going to happen. We can't do it. And it's not happening. That's another thing. But I just work on the basis we can't physically do that. But to throw this calamity, and when you join all the dots, it all comes back to this, you know, dollar control. And that's one of the things they've just done, is worked out, they've put up this thing where they reckon they're going to control the movement of money throughout the world. So they're saying it's costing too much money to move it from US to euros to other countries and to trade. They're going to have this simplified digital currency, not just for us to buy loaf of bread, but for everybody to trade. Well, if they destroy the US dollar as the global trading currency, then there is a restructuring that's going to go on that's going to outweigh all of these things, whether it's COVID, whether it's climate, whether it's what you just mentioned about what they're going to do. The side dish that comes with this main course is catastrophic.
Jeremy.
I agree 100%. This is complete insanity. No science to it at all. Of course, Ian Plimer's right. And many others. There are many experts. William Kinnamont, who was the head of the Bureau of Meteorology's Climate Center, and many, many highly qualified meteorologists, climatologists have just said, look, climate does change. It's natural. The component of our emissions adding to climate is very, very tiny. And if anything, a little bit of warming would be a good thing. If you look at the history of life on Earth, the climate has been much warmer millions and millions of years ago. We're actually very lucky to be living in an interglacial period, because most of the last million years, it's been much colder in an ice age. And it's just this last, say, about 10 to 15,000 years, we've been in this relatively warm period, and we're just very fortunate. And for the next 100,000 years, we're likely to go back into another ice age, just the regular cycles have been going. So we're just doing it all for nothing.
I find that NASA said years ago, it would have been 5-6 years ago, that we're heading into a mini ice age because the sun is just not doing what it should do. Tim, you're one of the younger ones here.
You
know, in fact,
you can say that.
In fact, a dinosaur is. Thanks very much. You don't have to gloat. All right, wash your mouth out with soap. But what are the younger set? Hang on, what are the younger set thinking about climate change?
Unfortunately, most younger, you know, people my age or in the younger generations are left leaning in their political views, and they tend to listen to more of the left leaning politicians. And unfortunately, the only thing coming out of the left politicians' mouths are climate change, the world's going to blow up.
Look, Davos is, it's where all the demented meet. I mean, so they get together, you know, pray to Satan, that sort of stuff. Because, most of them don't, well, not most of them, but a lot of them don't believe in God anyway. It's this transhumanism thing. I'll just play you something here from a press conference. This is the First Movers Coalition. They announce expansion, and this should make John very happy.
Good morning, and good morning. A warm welcome to all.
Thank you.
My name is Kim Hui Neo, Managing Director at the World Economic Forum, and I head up the Center for Nature and Climate.
Sorry?
This year's annual meeting is happening in challenging times, coupled with extreme weather events affecting the lives of many people around the world. And as I speak, India and Pakistan experiencing extreme high temperatures, while California and France are facing severe drought. We need to massively scale up, speed up, and bring down the costs of climate solutions, both nature-based and technological innovations.
You can say that again.
The International Energy Agency has estimated that around half of the emissions reductions needed will come from technologies that have not yet reached maturity. And this is why in November last year at COP26, with support from US President Biden, the State Department, led by Presidential Envoy for Climate, John Kerry, together with the World Economic Forum, launched the First Movers Coalition. The coalition seeks to create a marketplace for technologies and solutions that can accelerate the energy transition. Companies who join the coalition commit to buy materials, transportation services, and fuels that are critical for emissions reductions, consistent with science-based targets for net zero. We focus on the sectors where transition is especially difficult, such as steel, cement, aviation, shipping, and together this account for 30% of global emissions. And today, I'm very pleased to be here because we are excited to announce an expansion of the coalition in three areas.
Thank you so much.
One, increase in number of companies making purchasing commitments.
Suckers.
Two, expansion of government partners to the effort.
Suckers.
And three, an increase in the number of sectors that will be covered by these purchasing commitments.
Now, John, before you get angry at what she's saying, what was she saying?
Well, she was saying the government is going to take over joint commitments with industry. In other words, and there's going to be more industries involved, so the government's going to take a percentage of these industries by the sound of it. And there's going to be more restrictions on anyone that doesn't follow the law through taxes, which she didn't use that word, but they're going to stomp anything out of the picture that doesn't fit their narrative. They're going to take over industries, and of course we all know, like, you know, anything when the government gets involved in industry, its efficiency goes out the door. I just find it completely opposite to what should be happening, and especially in this weird time that we're in now. We've got, we just looked at a 20% increase in power bills across Australia. The non-majors have just put their power up by 100%. That's the the ones that ring you up and say, oh, look, do you want to buy electricity off me? I'm a subcontractor. And they've gone up by 100%. And now Ergon Energetics are going to go up by 20%.
Mm.
Well, I don't know how the poor people of Australia are going to cope with that. And it's always the poor that cop it. How the aged community that are relying on electricity for heating, or that's not as if the gas hasn't gone up. And of course, it does expose how reliant we are on coal and gas, because the major increase that we're looking at, that 20%, is because the price of coal and gas have gone up, because other countries that aren't as stupid, or well, they might all be soon, but they're buying as much coal and as much gas as they can get off us, because they can't get it off where they were getting it, or it's now more, it's going up global, like diesel fuel, a barrel of oil is over $100. So we sell our oil on the world parity pricing. You know, like we're seeing the increase in power as a result of the extra demand on coal and gas. So that tells you that coal and gas is not going out of the picture. We're selling more of it now than we ever were. And let's just put a word in for our coal. It's the best possible coal. It burns the hottest, the cleanest, the less residue, all those things, produce more kilowatts out of a ton of coal from here in this country than you can out of anywhere. Mm. And it's all going to have to come from somewhere. So I think those people are just talking, as usual, from a very affluent position, not understanding the reality of the average person and how much money they've got, how much they can't afford to pay extra.
Mm.
We're looking at a disaster, and it's they're making it.
I heard someone say once that what they're doing is a bit like, you know, this is for farmers. It's a bit like a getting a cow pat, putting some peaches on the top of it and calling it a pavlova. Jeremy, what do you think?
Oh, that's about right. I think the whole idea, it's just marketing. The net zero won't happen. It's not possible. They'll do a lot of harm. They'll push a lot of coal-fired power stations into the ground. They'll try and kill off nuclear, because the Greens don't want nuclear power either. They'll do a lot of damage, and it's all about population control. It's all an agenda to enrich a few people and control nations, bankrupt nations. And a lot of this is about finance too. If you have a look at the companies that are pushing this agenda, they're the companies that the financial firms, BlackRock, Vanguard, they want to restrict finance for any organization, any company, which would otherwise emit carbon dioxide. So at the end of the day, unless you control that credit capacity, if you control your finance, if you don't control it, well, you won't be able to invest in your nation's productivity. The whole thing's nuts anyway, because carbon dioxide is not pollution. In fact, more would be better. We don't have to even worry about it. 400 parts per million today, it would be a good thing if it went to 800 parts per million. Actually, you'd get better crop yields.
Mm. Tim, you'd be very impressed, because being from South Africa, dropping into New Zealand and flying over here, and you've come here and you've stayed here, which is good. Mm. Good that Interpol hasn't got hold of you yet.
Not yet, but now they will. Thanks a lot.
But hey, it's our secret and everyone else's. But yeah, for a price, we could change your name. But that's another story. What do you think, though, about this garbage that they're talking about?
Well, look, here's the thing. As I said before, most of my generation has grown up with our education system, or even the education system, especially in New Zealand. New Zealand is a little bit more like Canada in terms of its policy. But New Zealand and Australia, the education system is trained to educate young people on climate change. Mm. So it's one of the major things that you study throughout your time in primary, then moving through to intermediate and high school. It's a major, major theme in your education is climate change. So for me, honestly, coming into TNT has opened my eyes to it, because I was among the masses that thought climate change was
mass
real.
Mass psychosis,
yes, because I had never heard any alternative viewpoints on this, and all I'd known was what I've been taught in school.
John, you'd have to agree that our education system is to blame for us having Australia or the West having such a low IQ.
Oh, look, it's terrible. I just, and there's, and no, like, like Tim's saying, and there's no alternative. They're all getting fed one path. And that's just the worst part of education, whether it be science education or anything. You've got to look at all sides and encourage the student to, you know, come to their own conclusion. That's what I thought education was. And to what Tim's saying is right about the younger generation, but what I can't work out is, you know, 20 under 30 million Australians have just voted to make themselves immensely poorer, you know, like when we shut down a power station here, within 2 weeks we'll blow it up so it can't be restarted. You know, that's just a crime. So we are shutting ourselves away from the possibility of remanufacturing. So we're supposed to go into this phase, we're going to be more, you know, less reliant on China, less reliant on the world. We're going to produce our own things. Well, you know, we've got a generation of people that won't work. They're not allowed to be inventive. They've been ruined in their brain to be creative. It's an attack on an entire civilization, a generation of a civilization. Brett Weinstein and Heather put up a fantastic sarcastic thing up on Dark Horse the other day, and they listed the things that you would do if you wanted to destroy a country before you invaded it. And of course, there was all the things, well, will you destroy their economy by bringing in climate tax? And there was all these things we're talking about now is what you would do if you want to destroy the economy of a country and destroy the people socially, destroy the family unit, you know, and Heather came up with a beaut one, and she said, yeah, and convince a turtle it's a slide rule. And then Brett came up with another one. He said, yeah, and how about we print a shit ton of money? That'll help, you know, destroy your money base. So we've had everything done to us that could divide us, subtract us from being free thinkers, destroy our youth, destroy the family unit, castrate the males, you know, de-womanize the female, you know, destroy motherhood, you know, like all the things that made this country unbelievable. The same things turned America. They went from Europe. They didn't want to live under tyranny. They went to America. They formed their constitution. They set themselves up in this, what has been the most amazing thing that ever happened in history of mankind. What America has done for itself, but more importantly, what that has done for the world in the way of example and innovation. And here we are, we're going into a regeneration phase. Everything's going to go back. Meanwhile, China's loving it. So if you get that hint that who's behind all of it, that's what I believe. I think we've been set up for a fail.
We have. Jeremy, you had a good education. I mean, I know that because you went to probably a private school and you popped down to the waterside before school, have a few beers.
Actually, I went to a public school and then I went to Monash University and I've got an engineering degree. So, yeah, the public school system wasn't that great, but, you know, it still got me where I am. It is true what Tim said, you know, the education system is rotten with respect to climate change and it's getting worse. Even in my day, they were starting to talk about it. And now if you talk to the youngsters, you know, it's just nonstop in their curriculum. So it is a worry. Most young people are bought into it. In fact, a good chunk of the general population have bought into it, if you look at the Greens vote. Mm. And that is a huge worry because I've been looking at the numbers. In the Senate, the ALP is likely to have 26 Senate seats. The Greens are likely to have 12 Senate seats. You add those two numbers up, it's 38 seats. Now, they only need one more to have a majority, and they have that through David Pocock, who's likely to get in the ACT. He's one of those independents that's financed by the Climate 200 group, so he's effectively a Green. So it's looking very likely they'll have the numbers, 39, and they can just ran through all their Green legislation through the Senate, and they've already got the numbers in the House with the Teals and the Greens.
It's great, isn't it? And look, I'm just going to look for a razor blade. In the meantime, this is TNT Radio.
Trish Wood on TNT Radio.
I thought, well, that's kind of like the end of the war. And then there was another piece that I saw in, I believe it was the Jerusalem Post, which said that two sides are still talking at very high levels. So I guess what I'm wondering is, why am I having to look for that kind of information? Why isn't that top of mind during the newscasts who are instead focusing on refugees and crying babies wrapped in Ukrainian flags waiting at the border? I mean, it would seem to me that those concessions by Zelensky might be a game changer.
Well, yes, but it's a game changer that doesn't favour the current geopolitical, should we say, motivations and aims of the US at the moment.
Trish Wood on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The United States government has declared you an enemy of the state. For the first time in history, a foreign journalist has been charged under the U.S. Espionage Act for publishing truthful information about war crimes. If convicted, our right to free press is over. We have been led to despise the journalist charged by a massive smear campaign directed at both the left and the right, yet his record speaks for itself. He's the only journalist to have never gotten it wrong. The charges are opposed by all major human rights and free press organizations, but our once trusted news outlets have failed to inform us. It is not too late. We can demand the UK stop the extradition of journalist and publisher Julian Assange. We can demand the Department of Justice drop the charges. Call UK Home Secretary Priti Patel at 020-7219-3528 or call the Department of Justice at 202-514-2000. They are not after him. They're after us.
Are you finding it harder to do the things you used to do, like vacuuming or getting to appointments? If you need a bit of support at home, the Australian Government's My Aged Care is your starting point to access services. You'll find all the information and advice you need in the one place. To find out about other services, eligibility and costs, call 1800 200 422 or go to myagedcare.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra, spoken by Heather Christie.
This is today's News Talk and the Voice of Freedom, TNT Radio.
Now, we know that Davos is where all the demented lovies gather for a bit of a powwow, how to control the world. At a Davos Energy Transition panel, the moderator asked a World Economic Forum guests, they talked to these guests and wanted to know what they thought about electric cars and asked the guests to raise their hands, because this is the transition, by the way, if they had an electric vehicle.
So I'm going to throw this immediately out to the audience and say, how many of you are driving an electric vehicle at the moment? 1, 2, 3, 4. So I would say that probably constitutes less than 5% of the persons sitting here in this room.
Now, John, are you sitting in a electric truck or tractor?
No, it's diesel, mate. Diesel truck.
Yeah. But isn't that interesting? Here we are. They want us to transition to electric vehicles, and 5% of them have one. So it's a, you probably say that's very hypocritical or a dismal failure or a combination of both.
Oh, look, and because it doesn't matter what they do from now for the next 10 years, they are not going to be able to create a situation where someone can come home from work with their vehicle and plug it into their PowerPoint in the garage and have it charged in the morning and go to work. So that just can't happen.
Lunar
you talk to anyone in... Yeah, you talk to anyone in electricity generation, and there's $6,000 to $10,000 gone on to the cost of every single house in these new developments that I sell rock to in Sunshine Coast, because every second or third house or every series of house needs a big three-phase transformer, and all those houses have to have a massive plug capacity. And the draw on power back down the line, and they can't supply that much power into 20,000 houses into a resort. If 10% of those cars come home, plug in overnight, they just can't handle it. So, and then there's one, they go down the shopping centre and plug in, that's free of charge. Who pays for that? You and me, that's who pays on their diesel cost now, Exide. It is just a ridiculous scenario that people think they're going to be able to do this without coal. And those, the efficiency of coal is so great. Most people don't understand how a coal-fired power station works, let alone what they call super heated steam. When a coal-fired
station burns coal, they don't shovel in, like you said, the steam trains.
Mm.
It gets ground up into a micro powder and driven through an injector, like your modern engine drives an injector into a piston engine. So this micro fine powder, which is highly inflammatory, gets burnt. And they sometimes inject water in there to sort of really, like they do with people who do pottery kilns, and they get this massive energy blast out of this very small amount of product. And the efficiency of burn is so great that they then have a very small amount of smoke associated, and they extract that smoke, and then they put that air back in, and they drive that smoky air back in through into the superheated scenario, and they superheat the steam. So they're getting a steam generation out of the first steam, and they're taking that steam that's cooled down a bit, and they superheat that, and they put it through another set of generators. Those big bell towers and those big tall towers you see with smoke coming out of them, that's steam. That's how they cool down the water and get the water back. And of course, some vaporizes out the top, just like when you turn your car engine off and you see smoke and the condensation coming out. Thing, that's what that is going into the air. But most of these people of Tim's generation think that that tower is actually smoke coming out. There is actually steam from the cooling down of the superheated steam. So yeah, there's that much misinformation about the actual coal burn. It's like this diesel engine I'm driving in my truck.
Mm.
It's a modern, you know, 5 engine, and it's got, you know, like this one hasn't got blue fuel in it, like with the nitrogen burn fuel. But those big truck engines that are 550, I loaded 2 of them today, 600 horsepower, the air coming out of the exhaust pipes, in some cases, they say it's joke, cleaner than the air that went into the engine, but it's not much dirtier. So the efficiency of a combustion process today is nothing like it was 25, 30 years ago, although our power stations are probably a bit old, but people think it's shoveling coal into a steam train.
Jeremy, the Labor Party will introduce tax benefits to reduce the price of electric cars and plug-in hybrids, and they forecast that 89% of new car sales will be electric by 2030. Remember that movie? And the line was, or the quote was, they've got to be kidding. You think they're kidding?
Yeah, I can't see it happening. Look, if they tried to do that, we'd have to have the biggest expansion in mining that the world has seen to mine all the lithium and all the other heavy metals for the batteries. And how do they mine? They mine with machinery that runs on diesel today. So I just can't see it happening. Mm. As I said before, they'll do a lot of damage in the meantime. But the point that John made before about these power stations, he was talking about the cooling towers, and that's true. It is steam. But then there's the other part of it, is the chimneys. But the chimneys, you hardly see anything at all come out of it, because they run the exhaust gases through usually filters and electrostatic precipitators.
Oh, yeah. I have 2 of those at home.
Yeah. And essentially what it is static electricity. It attracts the tiny little particles, the soot, so that clean flue gases come out the top. So you hardly see anything at all because the gases are so clean. So essentially it's carbon dioxide coming out the top. So the pollution levels aren't too bad. The old coal burning, sure, you know, they were shoveling in the steam trains and there wasn't that sort of technology. And if you go back to the 1950s, people were burning coal just to keep warm in London, and they had shocking smog, and thousands and thousands of people died in these pea soup smogs. Pollution was a real problem. Today, in a modern coal-fired power station, pollution is a minor problem. And better still, we can go with nuclear power.
Tim, when I used to watch some, actually I hated them, those black and white films. My wife loves them. I can't stand them. But I remember one on a train, it was like a cowboy film, and he put his head out. This guy, it could have been John Wayne or something. He came back in looking like Al Jolston. But so that's how bad it was, the soot. But nowadays, we know it's none of this anymore. But we're led to believe, they always show the ABC, especially, it's your ABC, even yours too, by the way.
Mm.
The ABC shows all this stuff billowing out of the top of these funnels and, you know, chimneys and whatever. And that's just steam.
Well, that's what the media shows you. That's what we're led to believe. Whenever there's any education on climate change or on, you know, burning dirty coal, disgusting dirty coal, and they always show those towers and they always show, you know, the white plumes hitting into the atmosphere. And that's plumes. The plumes. Yes. Plumes. And,
I used to know them. They lived down the street.
Oh, right. Yes.
Mr. Mrs. Plume. Yes,
of course.
Anyway, yep. So, but I do agree it's a lot of hysteria. Now, look, because not only are we broadcasters here, we are also musicians. And with our TNT orchestra, we've put this together. This is all about China.
Don't talk about China, no, no, no. We don't talk about China. It was Inauguration Day. We were getting ready and there wasn't a crowd at the mall.
Bitches all over the mall.
China calls in for our mutual win.
Corn pop.
You telling this story or am I?
I'm sorry, Jitsaka, go on.
China says we don't detain.
When they're trying to maintain us,
Uyghurs are stark COVID strain.
Obama was a clean fellow.
We'll circle back another day.
Dr. Trump didn't pay, so they're okay.
We don't talk about China.
No, no, no.
We don't talk about China.
Final love of China, silence and then censoring. I will always pander to their editing and murdering. I associate them with the sound of printed cash. Got a gay kiss, it's a miss with the Chinese. Edit till we get it all approved by the commies. Grappling with policies we couldn't understand. Do you understand?
5'7" frame, bad soup as a snack. All my function gains will all fade to black. Can't hear beagle screams, cause I surgically removed their vocal cords.
We don't talk about China. No, no, no. We don't talk about China.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Fang Fang told me she really loved me, but the next day, gone.
会说一点普通话，一身轻松。
But when I asked the who about Taiwan, my phone call went dead. Your fate is sealed when your fortune cookie's red.
I tell you that Taiwan and Hong Kong are in China and someday be mine. I tell you that my power will grow like the dragon that fly through the sky.
Yes, Xi Jinping is on his
they
way.
They told me that the slaves would make me some nice Nike jerseys if I showed up and dribble.
It's like I hear him you now.
I want not like a sound I hear out him of now. You.
I can hear him now.
China. Yeah, about that China.
China.
I really told you all about China. And the truth and the whole truth, China.
Donald Trump, you get out of
here. Get
off Twitter. 5'7" frame, fat soup as a snack. All my fortune gains belong to the black. Can't hear eagles scream.
There you are, John. I could see you almost tapping your... Actually, I can't see you, but I imagine you were tapping the top of your Massey Ferguson.
It's my favourite subject, China. I think, you know, and like, we are... There's no question now they created this virus. There's no question whether it was Wynn Company.
China.
With the lovely Fauci and his few little friends.
China.
There's no question that's where it's come from. I knew that within the first few weeks. I had contacts that would help treat the first 200 victims. I knew about the bodies in September and the People's Liberation Army Hospital treating people in September. That's well before anyone admitted it. So, but the main fact is those ACE2 receptors are perfect human adapters for the spike protein. So there's no question it was gain-of-function virus. The question only remains now whether it was accidentally released or deliberately released. And no one wants to go there, but the fact is we have gone down a path that was so perfectly timed. And here they are, they're going to take Taiwan. There's no way anyone can stop them. The information just came out a couple of days ago of the secret release of the information, the recording. They've got 900 ships and 140,000 sailors ready to go. It's just all ready. 6 months and they'll do it.
Yep. Jeremy, sorry for cutting in there, Crypto. Jeremy, I just have a question because you're a political hound. Who's, by the way, we were singing to that song about China. The Andrew McLeod, who was on the other day, and he's a professor of all sorts, and he was saying that we signed an agreement in the 70s, and along with the UK and the US, that recognised that one China, it was Taiwan, was part of China. So if the West went in there to defend China, just tell me, if we recognise them as being one, Taiwan and Beijing, aren't we in effect invading China? And if we are, not really a good idea, is it?
That's right. Actually, Australia's government has recognised Taiwan as part of China and other governments too.
Mm.
So it's really quite bizarre that we would even worry about their own internal affairs. If we started doing that, we would be risking everything in Australia. We're at the point now where we've foolishly, as a nation, allowed our manufacturing just to move offshore, and much of it is in China, and we're buying back all this finished good material in Australia from China. They import our raw materials. So if we upset China and we cut off trade, China doesn't have to do anything other than say, well, okay, if you're not going to go along with trade, well, we'll just shut up shop and you can fend for yourself and we'd be stuffed.
We aren't we? Tim, if China decided to do all those terrible things with just basically sink us because they could do that quite comfortably, where would you get your dim sum?
I'll have to settle for some other cuisine, maybe Thai. I think I'll go for Thai.
Okay, you're an educated young one.
Well, you can say that.
Yeah. Well, you've told us, and we're just checking that resume out, by the way. Interpol is anyway. But I just at school, are they actually, or your age group, are they aware of a whole lot about the possible China conflict and Taiwan and who owns what and that sort of stuff, or is it just still, the lovey stuff, the climate change stuff, the gender equality stuff, or not equality, gender.
Social issues more so.
Social engineering.
Yes, that's right. And that's what it's really become. It's become a social melting pot for all the left agendas that they're trying to push, because they recognize that the way to change a nation is by, starting with the youngins. Because if you can start them now, in 20 years, when they're at the voting age, or when they're, switched on enough to be young activists that would like to see some change. And if they're being fed what they need to change their entire life, well, then they're going to vote for that change. And that's what they're doing. Now, in the situation with Taiwan, I think the whole Ukrainian crisis is going to, reload. They're going to reload that, for lack of a better word, reload that gun. They're going to fire it again. Mm. And it's going to be Taiwan. We're going to see an uproar with politics where the whole world comes together and then goes into bat for Taiwan. Now, whether or not we assist them, or invade China, because it is China, whether or not we do that is questionable, but it might be a similar situation that we are having and seeing with Ukraine. There might be a whole lot of sanctions, might cut off trade, which again, China, massive, massive economic benefits coming out of China for the world. what happens when we sanction China? What happens when Joe Biden decides that China isn't, you know, worthy enough to trade with the rest of the world, and he sanctions and cuts off all of China's trade relations? What happens then?
My grandmother used to always look after her china and never broke it. And we probably need to take a leaf out of my grandmother's teacup. This is TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
Much of the legacy media has emphasized former President Donald Trump's losses in the most recent series of Republican primary elections. The typical line is that Trump continues with a discredited lie that the 2020 presidential election was stolen. The establishment media celebrates losses of any Trump-endorsed candidate who has voiced concerns of widespread election fraud in 2020. But a look at the recent round of primaries shows that 11 candidates who voted to overturn the 2020 presidential election results were victorious. Seven of them were incumbent members of Congress who were unopposed and received large votes in their own right. Four who were up against challengers all easily won. Mike Rogers in Alabama got 82%, Rick Crawford in Arkansas 75%, Andrew Clyde in Georgia 76%, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, also in Georgia, 70%. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Eggs. You can fry them, scramble them, poach them, boil them, or race them on a spoon. But uncooked eggs can be a risk for food poisoning. To be safe, avoid buying dirty or cracked eggs. Always wash your hands after handling eggs. And if you're concerned, pregnant, elderly, or have a poor immune system, make sure you cook eggs until the yolk starts to firm. Or look for new pasteurized eggs. For excellent eggs, handle them safely.
For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else, it's TNT Radio.
Yeah, this is our Friday night. It's Taking Out the Trash. I'm Mike Ryan. We have Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
We have Jim. Hello. We have on the Massey Ferguson, we have Crypto John. John?
Yes, good.
Good. And Jeremy?
G'day, Mike.
And this is a bit like the Brady Bunch. And now, because we'd said we're not sparing the expense tonight, and we've got our news, one of our news guys in. Jeff, how are you?
Very good, Mike. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Now, you have a story to read. This is stunning news regarding the Wicked Witch Pelosi.
Yes, after being denied, I'll try and read this the best I can. Is this why you brought me in? Because it's taking out the trash?
That's right. That's right. You're next.
After being denied Holy Communion by San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone, the Church of Satan graciously reached out to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to remind her she is still eligible to partake of the Satanic Eucharist.
Eucharist.
Eucharist. I was just checking to see if you knew that. It's like the normal Eucharist, but evil. The Church of Satan welcomes all, said the church in an official statement. Although Speaker Pelosi claims to be a devout Catholic, she advocates for the legal murder of babies and lives a life of self-worship that is inspiring to see. She would be a great addition to our congregation, they said. Now, Pelosi was flattered by the satanic invitation and referred to the Church of Satan as an upstanding pillar of the American community. I don't know why Pelosi would want to be a Catholic if she doesn't believe in anything Catholics do, said satanic high priest Peter Gilmore. She should join us at the Church of Satan. We wear cool robes and we drink blood and play D&D.
There you are. So, by the way, that's from Babylon B. Jeremy, it almost suits Pelosi, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, Nancy Pelosi, terrible woman. American politics is in a very bad way, and the Democrats and Pelosi is a good example of what's wrong with the United States. It's good to see, though, that in the Republican Party there are some freedom fighters who have done quite well in the primaries. But whether it'll be enough to save the United States, that's yet to be seen, because even though it's looking like should the November elections play out, and as I said, we don't know, we're in a crazy world, but if they play out and the Republicans gain a majority in the House and the Senate, it's possible that United States could be in a better shape. But at the same time, there are a lot of really dangerous Republicans in there who are just gung-ho along with the military-industrial complex. And that's a real worry for me.
Whoopi Goldberg, that story, even though it was satire, I would like to believe it, but it's not. Whoopi Goldberg sort of backed up how evil she is.
This is not your job, dude. That is not up to you to make that decision. What is the point of communion, right? It's for sinners. It's for sinners. It's the reward of saints, but the bread of sinners. How dare you?
So there you are. Crypto. I don't know if you know a whole lot about Pelosi. She's this woman that, you know, she flies her. You see her sometimes flying past the moon on a broomstick.
With a bottle of gin.
Yes, and that too. Yeah. But she's a terrible woman.
I just can't understand why we haven't been able to get better people in politics all over the place. Like, it's just, it's such, look, you and I wouldn't get into it. So maybe it does attract the wrong sort of person. Someone who's driven by ego, money too, but I think it's more ego, you know, like I just don't understand their motivation to do some of the things they do. Their ideology, you know, like as Tim's talking, the amount of brainwashing that's gone on, but she can't be recognised as one of that generation that's been so attacked and steered by this, what I call this long-term, you know, the art of war that's been going on, programming us and getting us ready, and slowly but surely, two steps forward, one step back, all the things that we've heard talked about. And here we are, we're facing the most unbelievable period of our lives. Canadian prepper had a comment there that today, I watched him, and he said something on the lines of, that if you put everything that's happened in the last 2 years into a two-week news read, you know, you would think we're the end of the world was here, you know, like it's just one thing after another of calamity and major disaster, and all by accident or all by design. And I fear there's some sort of design behind this. And like, look at Ukraine, you know, that should never have happened. You know, it's just, and now it's happened, we've depleted our they reckon it takes US 12 months to restock its ammunition. The amount of money that's been dumped out of the treasury that's going to cause inflation, the food crisis that comes of it. Why didn't they go in the United Nations 10 years ago and say, look, you blokes can't agree. There's got to be a borderline here. Let's all sort this out. No word, no nothing. And here there is. There'll be 10 years before this thing stops. If you'd shot my family and I was on either side of the border in that dispute, I'd be hunting you down. I don't care whether I was Russian or Ukrainian, you shot my family. 10 years from now, I'll be still looking for revenge. It's a long problem.
See, Tim, have you ever seen the movie, what was it called? The Exorcist. Ever see that movie?
I have seen that movie.
But see, it's true. You just look at Pelosi. Come back. she's terrible.
She's the demon inside the kid.
And Graham, did you ever watch The Munsters, John?
I haven't seen The Munsters.
John, did you see The Munsters?
Yeah, I've seen The Munsters, yeah.
Jeremy, have you seen The Munsters?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you don't know what you're missing, Herbert. Jeff, have you seen The Munsters?
Of course I've seen The Munsters. You actually remind me of, what is his name? Eddie.
I remind you of Eddie. Thanks. No, I'm just thinking, though, Chuck Schumer, he looks very much like Grandpa from the Munsters. I mean, Schumer. I mean, the whole lot of them. Then you got you know, Cacklehead, what's her name, Harris, and then you got Joe, who doesn't know who he is. I mean, we should be feeling very safe. But what is interesting, just quickly, we got the monkeypox, some of the symptoms, which Jeff, because we leg roped him here, can read some of these symptoms out.
Yeah, this is actually quite worrying, Mike, because I've actually got probably three or four of these right now. A mild headache. In that case, you should run for your life. You're pretty much already dead, according to the COVID statistics that we've been fed for the past 2 years. You pick a bug out of your wife's hair and eat it. Helpful, but gross.
Yeah,
don't do that, Mike.
No, I won't.
All of your pants are at the tailor to have a hole added for your tail.
Oh, that's right.
You've just got back from a tour of Dr. Fauci's Wuhan monkeypox lab. Duct tape is not a valid tool for air sealing a room against a viral infection, in case you didn't know already. A tiny monkey bursts out of your chest.
Really?
Yes. But if you've had the vaccine, that monkey would have exploded out of your body. but in a slightly more mild way. Also, you insist that selectively bred bananas are evidence of creation.
Really? Who's that? Is that John?
Oh, well, mate. Did you know in, you know, they had there were those parties in Belgium and Spain, you know? Well, after that, mate, they're going to ban mandates.
John, you need to go back to your... who's been writing your jokes? Somebody, dude, sack them. Look, it's time to go because we hear the orchestra revving up. Thank you very much, Jeff, for popping in.
No worries, mate.
Oops, let me try that again.
Thank you very much for having me today, Mike.
I was trying to be silent.
Yeah, mate, loved it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Jeremy, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Been great fun.
Yeah, it has been, for taking out the trash. Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
And we've also got to thank the rest of our staff. Okay, coming up next. Ouch! Bloody tail. Coming up next, we'll have our best friend, Jason Q. Citizen, on TNT Radio.